Tonight we want to return to our series, Basic Training. It has been several weeks since we have looked together at the thoughts with regards to parenting. But I think tonight it's important that we come back and consider yet another thought in relation to the bringing up of our children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So far, we have considered the basic duty that every parent has when it comes to the bringing up of their children, that being the training of children. Proverbs 22:6 makes it very clear that we are to train up a child in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart. Each parent has a responsibility to be involved, not just in providing for the physical needs of their children, but they have a responsibility to train them in the things of God. Then we took some time to consider what every child needs from their parents. And it's important that we understand the needs that our children have, and mainly the spiritual needs that they have. In our last consideration, we were called to see the importance of our influence in the lives of our young people. And God has given to us an awesome privilege and responsibility, not only to train, but to truly influence their lives and to ensure that that which influences the life of our young people will be to His praise, honor, and glory. Lord willing, next week I want to look at what I'm going to consider to be the heart of discipline and the importance of disciplining our children in the ways of the Lord, but understanding the reasons why we do that. And again, the key of getting or reaching the heart of our young people. Tonight I want to consider the fact that within our homes and part of our training of our children, there must be within our heart's desire that we would keep Christ front and center in their lives. We need to learn how to be able to help our young people make Christ the priority of their life, to put Him front and center. So tonight I simply entitled the message, Christ Front and Center. Before we look at this though, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? And I want to consider some practical things that will help us to be able to determine if Christ is the center of our homes and the center of the lives of our young people. Let's pray together, please. Father, we do thank You tonight for the opportunity that is ours to be able to come and consider some thoughts and truth from Your Word in relation to our parenting. Lord, there is no greater responsibility given among men than to train our young people in the things of God, to train them formally and informally, to teach them the truth of the gospel, to pray and ensure that they come to Christ as their Savior, to influence them in the right ways, and to take our responsibility seriously. Lord, I pray that You would help everyone who here tonight is a parent, Lord, to understand the value and the importance of keeping Christ at the center of their home and keeping Christ the center of their children's lives. Lord, for all of us here, though, that needs to be our focus no matter what. Lord, Christ needs to be front and center. He needs to be preeminent within our lives. Him and Him alone. So, Lord, I pray that You would teach us all tonight through Your Word. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. At the outset of this series, I reminded you of a statement that I first mentioned to you in our family series that we did several years ago. And the statement was simply this: a Christian home is not Christian because Christians live in the home. A Christian home is Christian when Christ is the center of that home. A true Christian home will keep Jesus Christ front and center. A true Christian home will make sure that He is preeminent in their lives. It's not just a title that we take on because I am saved and therefore I now have a Christian home. But a true Christian home is one where Christ is the center of our lives. With that statement, let me also say this, that true Christian parenting requires more than just rearing our children in a so-called Christian environment. Sometimes we believe that we are doing the job as Christian parents simply because we have a so-called Christian home, which is Christians living in one home. Christian parenting requires more than just a Christian environment. True Christian parenting can only take place when, again, we keep Christ the center of our home and the center of our parenting. When we are pointing our children to Jesus Christ, when we are getting to the heart of their life and helping them see Christ and Christ alone, that is when we are doing our job in Christian parenting. Christian parenting is not getting our children simply to follow through and simply conforming to a standard that's been written for them. Christian parenting is getting our young people to get Jesus Christ in the center of their lives. Because, folks, my goal and my responsibility as a parent is to train up our children in the way they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart. And if I simply have my children conforming to a standard out of fear or even respect for me, one day that will be removed when they leave my home. They are no longer under the obligation to obey or reverence everything that I say. And they will begin to make decisions based on convictions that come from their heart. And what I want in that heart when they leave my home is Christ front and center. I don't want them to say, well, Mom and Dad did this. I guess I'll try that for a while. I want Christ to be the center of my home, and I want Jesus Christ to be the center of their lives. That is paramount for us as parenting. Too much of what takes place in the name of Christian parenting is nothing more than the spiritualization of secular truth. Okay? Much of what we do in the name of Christian parenting is nothing more than just a spiritualization of secular truth. We have followed the ways of the world, and bringing up our children have merely put our Christian twist on it. But if we want to bring up our children to know, love, and serve the Lord, then we must do all that we can to help them make Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, central in their lives. Folks, I want to do more than just simply spiritualize life for them. I don't want to adopt the philosophy of the world and just kind of put a Christian glaze over the top of it. I want to cause them to see Christ. I want to cause them to choose that Jesus Christ will be Lord of their life. That Jesus Christ is the one that they will come to, the one that they will follow. I want them to make the decision on their own that when they become an adult, they will take up their cross and follow Him. I want Christ at the center of their life. I don't want me to be in the center of their life. I don't even want, per se, the church to be the center of their life. I want Christ as the central focus in my kids' lives. Because Christ ought to be central and the center focus of all of our lives. So the question is then, how do we know when Christ is the center of our home? How do I know if Christ is the center of my children's life? I'm going to give you a few things tonight that can help us to evaluate and understand. Is Christ the center of our home? Is Jesus Christ the center of your life? Is He the center of the life of your children? This is a way to help us evaluate and then begin to explore ways that we might be able, again, to help Christ become front and center in their life. So what I want to see is this. Christ is the center of our lives when the following things, I think, are evident. And by the way, I think they're evident because it comes from the heart. Christ is the center of our life when, number one, you seek the Lord first. Matthew chapter 6 is the passage that I want you to be at right now. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin, if we could, in verse 19. The Lord Jesus is here speaking, saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. And if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Jump over to verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How can I know if Jesus Christ is the center of my life? How can I know if he is the center of our family's life, the center of my children's life? Well, Christ is the center of your life when we seek the Lord first. When we put Jesus Christ first and we seek him first, that's when we can begin to say that Christ is the center of our lives. All of us are faced with the choice of what we will set our heart upon, what we will set our affections on, what we will seek after. The Lord Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We understand that the verses before that are dealing with the choice that we have. We can either be laying up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, or we can be seeking to lay up treasures upon earth, seeking after material wealth and possession. Moth and rust will corrupt. Thieves will break through and steal. They are temporary in nature. But we cannot serve both. We cannot be seeking both. And the reason is the word seek itself carries the idea of seeking until we obtain. The concept is of seeking for a buried treasure. We give ourselves wholly until we find that which is our desire. We are to be seeking first the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire as a Christian family should be to seek after Christ with all of our heart. He ought to be the joy of our heart, the joy of our life. Our desire as Christian parents ought to be to instill within the heart of our children a desire to seek him first in their lives. What do you want your children seeking after? What are they seeking after today? Are they simply running after the pleasures of this world? Is their life focused fully on what they might obtain materialistically or pleasure? Is life all about just fun and gadgets and games? Or is life about Christ? Do they care whether or not they spend time with God and his word? Do they desire to want to be with the Lord? Is it a battle to get your children to come to church each week? I mean, do you have to drag, threaten, or bribe them to come? What are they seeking with their heart? Our goal ought to be to instill with them a desire to seek the Lord first. Now, can I simply say this to you as parents and even as grandparents? I think this truth is often caught better than it's taught. So what that means is you need to be an example. If you have no burden, no desire, no drive to spend time with the Lord, to be there with him in prayer, if you have no interest and it's a burden and a struggle for you to come to church, that's the spirit they're going to catch. If you're seeking after the things of this world while you're saying outwardly with your lips, yeah, God's important to us, He's centered in our home, but your life proves differently, they're going to catch that from you. So you have to be the example. There's a truth better caught than it is taught. Christ ought to be the one that we are seeking after. In verse 19 and 20, there's a contrast laid for us, our consideration. We can seek the things of this world. Verse 19, material things. Or we can seek the things of God, spiritual treasure to come. You can ask, well, how do we determine if I'm laying up treasures upon heaven or if I'm laying up treasures on earth? Verse 21 gives you the answer. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is your heart seeking after? If your heart is longing for the things of the world, then that's what you're seeking after. But if your heart is longing for the things of God, then that's where your heart is seeking. Verse 24 again reminds us we cannot be seeking after both. You will either serve God or you serve mammon. If our homes, our children are going to know the blessing of the Lord, then you and I must seek Christ first and ensure that He is the center of all things within our home. Let me ask you this question as parents tonight. What comes before God in your home? If a choice has to be made, what will you allow to come before God? Family events? Sporting events? Television? Entertainments? What do you determine as a family is acceptable for God to be replaced from first place? Work? Employment? Who are we seeking after? And why is that so valuable to us? See, I want my kids to have Christ as the center of their life. I want them to make every decision from here on out with this thought. Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. And Colossians chapter 1 gives me many reasons why He deserves the preeminence in my life. First of all, He is the dear Son of God. He's the beloved Son of God. God holds Him dear, and so should we. He is the image of God. He is God in the flesh. Not to mention the fact that He is my Redeemer. Not to mention that He is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. He deserves first place. So what do we allow to supplant God from the position of first place in our home? In your life. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. There are some good things in this world that can benefit our families. There are some good things for our kids to be involved in. But they can never be first. Never. This morning in Sunday school, in the midst of our series, Wise Up, about the book of Proverbs, we took a little break from Proverbs. But we talked about wisdom in relation to the use of technology. Technology is a big part of our life. Technology can either benefit us or it can burn us. It can be a blessing or it can be a blight. We need some wisdom. One of the things that I encourage our young people today is having the priority right when it comes to technology. Let me tell you what I told them this morning. Number one, priority is worship first. God comes before technology. When we come to our services and we bring our technology, it's to help us draw closer to God, not chat one with another. Now, some people say, see, that's why we should not allow any electronic devices, because people text in church. Sometimes they do. But you know, we've been texting in churches, folks, for years. We've been doing it on the back of a bulletin with a pen and a pencil, and we've been passing it down the row and passing it back and forth, and I've watched people do that before we ever had electronic devices. But first ought to come worship. God ought to be first. I also gave them this second priority when it comes to technology. Family first. Here's what that means. You need to connect with your family, and sometimes the best way to connect with your family is disconnect from your devices. Sometimes they just need to be turned off. They need to be unplugged, and they need to be turned off. They need to disconnect so that they can connect. Here's the reality, folks. The world understands the value of that. Hasbro has a commercial out that says, I know how to connect with my family. And a mom sends a text to her family and says, it's family game night. And they all put away their devices and play Jenga together. The world realizes that sometimes we just got to disconnect in order to connect. But folks, the reality is God needs to be a priority. And we ought to be seeking Him first. If we allow the priorities to become askew in the lives of our youth and the lives of our children, and Christ isn't sought after first, what do we expect when they leave our home? That magically that's going to change with them? And all of a sudden, now I'm an adult, and now that the pressures of life come, I'm going to seek after God first? They wouldn't do it when it was easy. They're not going to do it, folks, when it's hard. We have to have the priority of seeking the Lord first. He has to be the center focus of our desires. Second, we know that Christ is the center of our life when we seek to abide with the Lord. John chapter 15 for a moment. John chapter 15. I'm going to need to move rather quickly. I have several more to consider tonight. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it bringeth forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If Christ is going to be the center of our homes, the center of our lives, it has to be our desire to abide with him. The Lord Jesus Christ instructs his disciples that there is the necessity of abiding. The necessity of abiding. A branch cannot have life except it abide in the vine. So there is no spiritual nourishment within our lives except we abide in Christ. The word abide is a word that means to dwell. It speaks of being at home with Christ. You've probably experienced this before in your life. I've experienced it before as well. You may be away and invited to someone's home. Be maybe the first time you've ever been in their home. And when you walk away from that experience, you look at your spouse and you say something like this: I just felt at home there. There was an instant bond and an instant fellowship. There are places that we can go that to us, it's being at home. It's as comfortable to us as living within our own home life. You know, for the Christian, it ought to be our desire that each day we be at home with Christ. How comfortable are you with spiritual things? How comfortable are you with Christ? Do you find that the most enjoyable times in your home are the times that are focused on spiritual things? The most comfortable times is when you're involved in the service of the Lord? Or would you have to say that spiritual things make you uncomfortable. And it's hard to have those conversations with our kids. We just never seem to get around. We kind of ignore that because it's just not very comfortable for us. See, folks, in the Christian home, talking about the Lord and spending time with the Lord ought to make us feel very much at home. It ought to be very comfortable for us. But if spiritual things are uncomfortable for us, it might be that it's because Christ isn't the center of our home. Our home isn't built around Him. It might be that it's built around the things of this world. Again, if we're not comfortable with Christ in our own home, if we're not comfortable with spiritual things, why would we expect that when our children leave our home, they're going to establish a home centered around Christ? Mom and Dad, if you're not comfortable with the Lord and you're not comfortable with spiritual things, what makes you think your children will be? If your life is built around the things of the world and that's your comfort level, guess where their comfort level will be? It's going to be on the things of this world, not on the things above. Next, would you see with me that Christ is the center of your life when you seek to serve the Lord? Go over to Joshua 24 quickly this evening. Joshua 24. We know the passage rather well. It's familiar to us. Joshua is now leading the people of Israel into the promised land. He has just divided it to them for their inheritance. He is now getting ready to send them to their homes. He is now getting to send them to their dwelling places that God has now provided for them. And in Joshua 24, at verse 14 and 15, Joshua comes and he gives this exhortation. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served or on the other side of the flood, or whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many Christian homes have you been in where that plaque exists? How many Christian homes have you been in where that plaque hangs and you know it's not true? Too often, folks, that's the case. Just because we put Joshua 24:15 up on our wall doesn't mean our family is seeking Him. And the truth is, we have to establish and we have to consider in our own heart, are we as a family seeking to serve the Lord? Consider this with me. The people of Israel had seen the hand of the Lord deliver them, just as you and I have seen the Lord deliver us. They had experienced His provisions, just like you and I daily see His provisions for us. They had realized the victory that God had given and the great blessings that are now bestowed upon them. Yet the Bible makes it very clear that Christ has given us the victory and we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Joshua now charges them to choose whom they serve, and that choice is the same for you and for me. Mom and Dad, are you going to teach or seek to teach your children the value and blessing of serving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, with all of your strength? Are you demonstrating that to them? Do they see the blessing and the value of service? Do they hear that from you? What's talked about within your home? What do they hear about the church? What do they hear about those who are serving? Is every word out of your mouth but a complaint? Is every word out of your mouth a criticism? Is it always that, "Oh, I'm just so busy, I'm just so tired, I don't know why I have to serve"? What do they hear from you? What do they see from you? Do they see the joy in serving the Lord? Hey, when it's a work day, what do they see? "Ugh, Gord's doing another work day."
Well, at least there's food. Right?
You can be honest. Sometimes that's exactly what they hear from us.
Gord, 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 Gord. Another one of these Saturday work days. I have so many other things to do. I guess we'll go to church and help out.
Where's your heart when it comes to serving?
Oh, VBS. Boy, you know, it's summer. I'd like to have some time off.
You say, Pastor, aren't you being a little extreme?
No.
I don't think we are. See, Christ is the center of your home when it's a joy to serve Him. When it's a blessing to get up and go and serve the Lord. Does that mean every day is easy? Of course not. Does that mean sometimes that people won't drive you insane? Absolutely they will. Why? Because they're sinful people and they will drive you nuts. That's life. But here's what I want my kids to hear. They can hear it from me tonight. You can take all the hurt and all the heartache and you can wrap it up and you can give it to me for Christmas. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more I'd rather do than serve my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hurt me, and I'm going to do it again. Hurt me a second time, I'm going to do it again. Why? Because there's no greater joy than serving Jesus Christ. You know what I like about our staff here? You know what I like about our school teachers? I like that they come to work each day with a passion and desire to want to serve and teach. They don't always feel good. Sometimes they're in a great deal of pain, but they love what they do. One of the greatest blessings for me is to talk to one of our teachers and hear them express some things about their students that seem well up with tears because there's passion in their heart for them. And I know that's what's being demonstrated to the kids who come to our academy. I like that. I like people like that. If Christ is the center of your home, you will seek to serve Him. Joshua said, listen, you make your choice. I've already made mine. My family and I will serve the Lord because there's nothing better. Others made other choices, folks, and they paid the consequence. But when Christ is the center of our home, we'll choose to serve the Lord. Next, Christ is the center of your home when you seek to love the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, for just a moment. 1 John chapter 2. Notice verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Sounds rather similar to a family type passage. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How can you judge if Christ is the center of your life? Well, let me ask you, are you seeking to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, or do you love something else more? What's the most important and dear thing to you? If Christ is the center of our home, then we will seek to love Him above all else. If we are seeking Him and abiding with Him, then certainly we will serve Him and seek to love Him all the more. The Apostle John is writing to those whom he loved in the Lord. He said to them, don't love the things of this world. Paul wrote this way in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. All that the world has to offer is not of God, nor is it pleasing to Him. So the question is, where are your affections set? If I pulled your kids into my office and I sat them down and said, listen, I need to do an interview with you.
I need you to tell me, what is the one thing your dad loves above everything else? What's their response going to be? About the only one I think that I'd be willing to accept is, Mom. I'd be okay with that one. Although they need to go beyond that. Oh, Dad loves above everything else his job. Dad loves money. The only thing Dad ever talks about are his hobbies. He loves them with a passion. If I then said to your kids, tell me what Mom loves above everything else, what is so dear to her heart, what's their answer going to be? What would they say? If I pulled your friends in from the church and I said, okay, listen, we're going to ask a couple questions and I want you to help me and understand the people that I'm ministering to. Tell me about this person. What is it that they love? What are they going to tell me? What would people say to you about me? What we ought to be able to communicate, folks, is the thing that we love the most above everything else is God. We ought to have a passion for the Lord and love Him above everything else. Years ago, sitting in a chapel service, a preacher posed the question, it's one I've never forgotten. He says, does God mean everything to you? Or does He mean something less? Again, I want to ask you, what can take the place of God for your affections? What is that one thing that you would say, I'm going to take God down from the throne and set Him aside for this? Another person? An object? A career? A hobby? What supersedes God? And by the way, why should my love for Him be greater than anyone else? I love Him first because He first loved you. It ought not to be hard to give Him the love that He deserves when He loved you when you didn't deserve it at all. Right? If Christ is the center of our home, and we're willing to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Christ is the center of the home when we separate ourselves from the world. Psalm 1 is familiar to us. And it reminds us that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And then he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul tells us that God promises to be a father to those who come out from the world and live a life separated from their evil. You and I cannot claim to have a Christian home when all that is in our home is unchristian. We can't claim that. If our home is steeped in secularism, you and I cannot claim that we have a Christian home. You cannot claim to be godly when all that we do is ungodly. To know the blessing of God, Christ must be the center of our home. And when Christ is the center of the home, we will separate ourselves from sin and from worldliness, for in Him is light, and there is no darkness at all. He is of pure eyes, and to behold evil, He cannot look upon iniquity. Is Christ the center of your home? He is, if there's separation from evil. Finally, Christ is the center of your home. Christ is the center of your life when you seek to obey His word. If Christ is to be the center of our children's lives and they're to know the blessing that comes, then we must help them seek to obey
His Word. So let me ask you a question within your home. Are you folks, as a church, as a people, as a family, willing to obey what the Bible says? I've shared this enough with you in the past, but I'm going to remind you again. Matter of fact, I was talking with someone this weekend when I went down into the Cornerstone for a pastor's fellowship and for their little conference that they had. As I was talking with someone, they mentioned a couple things, and I said, you know what, I agree with you. And what they were talking about was this. Sometimes we put the little buts in our sentences and they don't belong there. I said, you know what I say to folks all the time? We live our life too much with the comma but syndrome, where what needs to be in our sentences are periods. Thus saith the Lord, comma, but, thus saith the Lord, period. We have to live our life. Not to excuse away what we do, but to accept God's word and to be a doer of the word of God. If the Bible tells us how to live, then we ought to live that way. If it tells us how to be a better spouse, then we ought to follow the teachings to be a better spouse. If it tells us how to be the right kind of parent, or to be a good grandparent, or to be a good church member, then we need to follow and obey His word. We don't have time tonight to go back and look at all, but I would encourage you, the passages were given to you, go back and read the passages again that we briefly looked at tonight. There is a common denominator to every passage. And the common denominator to every passage is the Word of God. When we abide in Him, His words abide in us. And because God's Word abides in us, we are no longer willing to love the world and the things that are in it. As we separate from the world, we delight in the law of the Lord. If we seek Him first, the question arises, where do we find Him? Is it not in His Word? You're going to serve Him and do what He has called us to do. Do we not need to know how to serve Him? And is that instruction not given to us in the law of God? Do you want to know God's blessing in your home? Parents, what's your goal? What's the end result for the life of your children? Some parents would simply say, I just want them to be happy and turn out to be a pretty good person. I think you set the mark way too low. Well, I'm hoping someday that they find someone that they can love and they can be married and be happy and give me lots of grandchildren. That's my goal. You set the mark way too low. No, there's nothing wrong with those things. And I hope our children will be happy. I hope our children will find that person. I trust they'll marry a good Christian person and they will serve the Lord together. But here ought to be our goal. That they will live their life, all the days of their life, with Christ being the center of their life. Because that's where life is supposed to be lived. I don't want my kids living on the outskirts of Christianity, just getting by. I want them sold out. I want them following the Lord. And I want, when they look up, to see Christ and Him alone. Don't you? What other goals should we have for them? Well, I hope they get a good job and make lots of money so they can take care of me in my retirement. May not be a bad backup plan for some of us, but I'd much rather my kids be poor in the things of this world, but rich in Christ. Because that's far greater. We have to determine where we want them to go. And folks, if we're going to help them know the true blessing of God, then they have to learn to put Christ front and center in their life. And they're only going to get that if He's front and center of our homes right now.
And he's only going to get there if we make a conscious choice to make him preeminent. And in all of our teaching, in all of our training, we're directing our children to the Lord. I don't want to direct them to me. I don't want to direct them to other people. I want to direct them to Christ. He's the one they need to know. He's the one that they need above everything else. We don't need things. We don't need houses. We don't need cars. We don't need technology. We don't need lots of money. We don't need annual vacations. We need Christ. Period. I don't need my circumstances to change. I need Christ. I don't need people to treat me better. I need Christ. That's all I need. And what my kids need is Christ. And I want him to be front and center in their lives. I hope that's your goal as a parent as well. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you tonight again for an opportunity to be able to look into your word.